Our scripture reading for Palm Sunday is taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, tell them the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as they had been told. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Here ends our reading. May God add his blessing to it. Well, friends, the season of Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, and it ends today on Palm Sunday. Now, on Ash Wednesday, we remember the time, the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. He was essentially, the temptations were all about, you know, "Jesus, you don't have to be a sacrifice. You don't have to die in order to complete your plan. Work with me. Do some of the things. Give me a little bit of space, and I'll give you some things in return." You know, the whole essence of Ash Wednesday and that temptation that Jesus faced in the desert was about trying to get Jesus to switch his battle plans for being the Messiah. God's plan was for Jesus to make a sacrifice of himself. Satan's plan was for him to build himself up with glory and pride and power. Now, in the opening passage of this reading, they're on their way to Jerusalem, and it says that they went through the town of Bethage and Bethany. Now, what that means is this, that as Jesus entered Jerusalem, Jesus knew he was going to be a sacrifice. He knew why he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to be going to the cross. But because he entered and went through the towns of Bethage and Bethany, that's significant, because that was near the place where Jesus spent those 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by the devil to switch battle plans. Now, I wonder if on that journey, as he went through that wilderness again where he had been tempted 3 years earlier, I wonder if Satan came to him again and said, "Listen, it doesn't have to be this way. You know, you're going to Jerusalem to be a sacrifice, but there's got to be a better way, Jesus." I wonder if that happened. Now, there was something special about the day that Jesus went into Jerusalem as well. This was the Monday before Passover, and in the Jewish festival of Passover, the Monday before Passover is an important day. It's called Lamb Selection Day, and it was the job of every household to find a perfect lamb to be sacrificed. And it was a very busy day for everyone would be out and about in the market and preparing for this grand holiday. It would kind of be the equivalent of Black Friday for us. And it was on Lamb Selection Day that Jesus came into Jerusalem as if to say, "Here is the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Will you recognize him?" Well, yes, the people did recognize Jesus. I mean, he had built quite a reputation with all the miracles that he had done. And just the other day, he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. So he comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and everyone recognizes him. And by now, people have recognized him as the Messiah because of all the miraculous signs of and wonders that have accompanied his earthly ministry. But even though they recognize Jesus as the Messiah, there's a problem. And the problem is in terms of what they expected of him as the Messiah. You see, they were expecting a military leader who would push out the Romans and give them freedom. Now, Rome had conquered Jerusalem in the year 63 BC. It's now 33 AD. And in that 96-year period of time before Jesus, there had been many other people who had been mistaken for the Messiah. In fact, during that 96-year period of time prior to Jesus, it was not unusual for someone to come into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day, stir up the people, and try to lead a revolt and say, "I'm the Messiah, follow me." And of course, the Romans would easily crush such a revolt. And the Romans were used to the people getting worked up. And they were used to people coming into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day, claiming to be the Messiah. And so they were prepared for it. And that was the reason why Pilate was in Jerusalem during that time. So when Jesus comes riding in, people recognize him as the Messiah. But their expectations are all out of whack. And we can see that in their actions. First off, they begin to shout, "Hosanna." Now, Hosanna is not a religious word. It's more of a political slogan. Hosanna means peace now, or give us peace now, or freedom now, I should say. Hosanna means give us our freedom. They were not worked up in a religious sense. They were worked up politically. And then it says they started waving palm branches. And the palm branch is an important symbol of victory in the nation of Israel. And so it would be the equivalent of like waving the stars and stripes. They were shouting, "Give us our freedom." And they were waving signs of victory, wanting victory over the Roman rule. Now, the people were treating this like a political rally. And they missed some rather obvious signs that Jesus was trying to give them. Actually, I believe they chose to ignore some of these obvious signs that Jesus was giving them. First off, Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And at the time, this was a very obvious symbol that anybody at the time would have understood. You see, at that time, if a foreign king came into a city and he intended to make war, he would come riding in on a stallion. But if a foreign king came into a city and intended to make peace, he would come riding in on a donkey. And Jesus chose to ride in on a donkey. And this wasn't any donkey, it was a young colt. In other words, it was a donkey that had never been ridden before. At verse 30, Jesus tells his disciples, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me." And again, the signal here was very obvious. I intend to do something that has not been done before. You're expecting a great king who will make himself important, place himself over you, and lead a violent revolt in order to give you freedom from Rome. But instead, I'm going to do just the opposite. I'm going to do something that has never been done before. In fact, I'm going to do something that has never even been thought of before. I'm going to humble myself, purposely make myself a servant, sacrifice myself on the cross so that you can have real spiritual freedom. You see, they were looking for political freedom. Jesus was offering spiritual freedom. And the people didn't get it. Or, more likely, they chose to ignore it. Now, whenever the Palm Sunday scene of Jesus entering Jerusalem is portrayed in film or in art, it always shows this joyful crowd, and it always shows Jesus beaming back this radiant smile as he receives their praise. And, you know, that's the memory I have of this scene. You know, I remember the scene that was depicted in the children's Bible that I had growing up when I was little. And there are a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings connected with Palm Sunday. And that's how Palm Sunday is etched in my memory anyhow, and I'm sure in a lot of people's memory. There's just one problem with it. That's not how it happened. Jesus was not beaming a radiant smile back at the people. Listen to verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Now, when it says that Jesus wept, he wasn't just crying softly to himself. The word that's used here in the original Greek for weep or wept means out loud, obvious crying. Jesus did not have a beaming smile. He wept because the people just didn't get it. Listen to verses 42 through 44 once again. If you, only you, had known this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on top of another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They weren't going to get their political freedom because that's not what they needed. You see, about 37 years after Jesus spoke these words in 70 AD, these words would come true. In 70 AD, Rome would finally get fed up with all of the riots and the uprisings that would take place in Palestine and especially in Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, the Roman army surrounded Jerusalem and slaughtered 600,000 Jews, men, women, and children. And they would have been slaughtered by the Romans. And after the slaughter took place, Roman engineers then stepped in and they dismantled the city of Jerusalem stone by stone. And not one stone was left on top of another. Jesus wept bitterly because the people didn't get it. And they missed out on enjoying real freedom and real joy because they were too busy chasing after the counterfeit freedom of the world. Now, let's not let that thought sit in the ancient past. Let's bring that thought right down to today in our life. What is it in our life that would cause Jesus pain? Because we just don't get it. I mean, Jesus comes to us and he offers us righteousness. But we chase after being right. Being able to say, I told you so. Jesus comes to us and offers us peace with God. But we chase after a counterfeit version, which is popularity with the world. Jesus offers us redemption of life, which means taking the things that we have done wrong and forgiving them. Jesus offers us redemption of life, but what do we chase after? We chase after the counterfeit version, which is revenge for the wrong done to us. Jesus offers us living water, in other words, contentment. We chase after keeping up with our neighbor. Jesus offers us peace with one another. We chase after political and social influence. Palm Sunday challenges us to look at ourselves and ask ourselves honestly, where do we not get it? What counterfeits do I chase after? You know, the rabbis at the time of Jesus were responsible for teaching the illiterate people the Jewish faith. And they did this with a series of questions. There were a series of set questions that the rabbis would ask, and there were set answers that the people would memorize and recite back. Today, we have the same thing, except we call it a catechism. And one of the rabbinical questions that the rabbis would use to teach illiterate people the Jewish faith was one of the questions went like this. When the Messiah arrives, how will he come? And the answer is, if the people are ready, the Messiah will arrive on the clouds. If the people are not ready, the Messiah will arrive from the city limits riding on a donkey. You see, the people were not ready. And what Palm Sunday challenges you and me to do is to get ready, to start building a spiritual kingdom, and to stop chasing after the counterfeit things that the world offers us, and to seek the things that God offers us, things like righteousness and redemption and peace and contentment. When the Messiah comes, will you be ready? That's my question for you on this Palm Sunday. Thank you for listening.